Tonight we'll be looking at John chapter 10, verses 22 through 30, just that short section. So hear now the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I've told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one shall be able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for who it presents to us. And Lord, tonight as we consider your word, help us to consider who we are in light of our great need of who is presented to us. Help us to reflect on how greatly we need a Savior, how greatly we need the kind of deliverer that Jesus is. And Lord, I pray that this would be an encouragement and a boost to our faith as we consider the security that we have in Jesus Christ. Increase our faith, Lord. Help our unbelief. And Lord, use this very fractured jar of clay for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, during the Christmas season, a lot of thought is given to the reality that Jesus Christ has come into the world. And as people think about the coming of Jesus and what he is to be, there are various expectations of who Jesus should be, and what kinds of things that he should do and expect of us, and really, what kind of expectations we have of him, and what kind of deliverer we think he ought to be. Some in our culture see him as one who ministered to the poor and to the outcast, and therefore is one who ought to deliver us from our selfishness and greed, and so move us to help the disenfranchised around us. Some see him as simply a good moral teacher, one who can deliver us from the hurtful and harmful actions we humans take towards one another. Others see him as one who is to usher in peace, and is therefore one who can deliver us from a closed-minded intolerance and to bring unity among those different religions and nationalities. And some see him as the Savior and deliverer of the world, sent to rescue men and women from sin, death, and hell. And right or wrong, no matter who you ask, everyone has their ideas of who Jesus is and their expectations for what kind of deliverer he should be. And the Jews in the passage before us tonight are no different. They had expectations of what they thought the Messiah and Christ should be. And as we will see, they had their own ideas about what they wanted him to be, what kind of deliverer he should be. And what Jesus does is set the record straight. He teaches them and he teaches us who he really is, what kind of deliverer he is to be. And that's really all I want you to see this evening, what kind of deliverer Jesus is. Now, there's a whole lot more to Jesus as deliverer than we find in this passage of Scripture tonight. But the overarching theme that comes across in Jesus' declarations here this evening in this text is the security that we can have in him as deliverer. And that's what I want you to see. I want you to see what kind of deliverer Jesus claims to be so that you can trust that you are secure in him. Trust that you are secure in him. Let's begin by looking at the context and the situation, verses 22 through 24. Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Well, John opens the scene for us, and he tells us that it's the Feast of Dedication. Now, this feast is what we commonly know as Hanukkah. This occurred during the winter season. It was a very rainy season, which is probably why Jesus was walking under Solomon's portico. It was a covered section of that portion of the temple. He was getting out of the rain, and everyone was coming around him. But it's the Feast of Hanukkah that's being celebrated. And this wasn't one of the three main feasts that God ordained in the Old Testament. It wasn't one of those. It was simply a civil feast, a civil ceremony, sort of, that commemorated the actions of Judas Maccabeus and the Jewish resistance against the Greeks. It was primarily a celebration of the rededication of the temple that occurred in 165 B.C. And during that period of time, the Greeks controlled that portion of Israel, that area of Palestine, under the power of the general Antiochus Epiphanes. Several years before that rededication of the temple, Antiochus sacked Jerusalem. He sacked the temple, plundered it, and actually defiled the temple of God by bringing pigs in and sacrificing pigs on the altar of God. Great offense in the sight of God, a great offense in the sight of God's people. Well, Judas the Maccabee led a successful resistance against Greek rule and rededicated the temple of God. And Judas proclaimed that a feast should be celebrated each year afterwards, remembering this rededication, remembering how God had brought them deliverance, and rededicated the temple and made it holy to himself. And so what you have here then is Jesus walking around in Solomon's portico, that section of that original temple that was constructed, during a feast which celebrates Jewish freedom from an oppressor by means of a deliverer. And it's this context which drives the Jews to ask the question that they do in verse 24. How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. The Jews want to know if Jesus claims to be the Christ. How long do you keep us in doubt? They're saying, don't keep us in suspense any longer, Jesus. Now, do you suppose they're really interested in whether Jesus is the Christ or not? Do you think they really care who he is? No, they don't. They don't care about that. What do they want? Well, they want Jesus to admit out in the open for everyone to hear that he is the Christ. Now, why would they want him to do this? Well, just think again about the context. Think about again about the feast that's occurring. The people's expectation of the Christ was that he would be a political deliverer, much like Judas Maccabeus. He would be a deliverer from oppression, specifically Roman oppression. And so during this feast, which celebrated deliverance from oppression, if Jesus were to proclaim he was the Christ, what do you suppose would happen? What do you think would happen if Jesus openly declared he was the Christ during this festival? Well, for one, the people who are essentially celebrating a time of rebellion against oppression would rally behind him. But that's only part of the aim of these Jews. They could then go to the Roman officials and say, hey, this man claims to be the Christ. He claims to be a deliverer for the people. He wants to lead the people in rebellion just like the Maccabees did. And then Rome could come and get rid of their Jesus problem that they've been having, that they've been so unsuccessful at trying to get rid of him themselves. But as always, Jesus isn't going to play their game. He never plays their game. He will admit to being the Christ, but not the one or in the way that they hoped for. But instead, he expresses to them and he expresses to you and me that he's an altogether different kind of deliverer than they expected. He declares his true power and nature as the Christ, and therefore shows us the security that we can have in him. And that's what I want to look at next, the true Christhood and power of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 25 and following. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness to me, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. Jesus has never hidden the fact that he was the Christ. In fact, you'll find by reading chapters 5 through 8 of the Gospel of John, he's expressed it multiple times and in various ways. And not only that, the works he's performed have entirely confirmed the fact that he is the Messiah. His healing of the lame man, the granting of the sight to the one born blind, all confirm that he is God's anointed one. He has shown them by what he has said and the things that he has done, but they do not have eyes to see because they're not of his sheep. And it's here that Jesus draws a distinction between those who are his and those who are not. And he begins to describe what kind of Christ or deliverer he really is. And in doing so, he highlights four beautiful truths about what kind of Savior he really is for his people. What kind of Savior he really is for you. And the first one is this. Jesus is a deliverer of those who belong to him. Jesus is a deliverer of those who belong to him. Look again at verses 26 and 27. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Jesus emphasizes that there are those who belong to him by pointing out that the Jews are not of my sheep. They're not led by him. They do not listen to him. They're not protected by him. They're not saved or delivered by him. They are not his sheep. And therefore, he does not lay his life down for them, does he? But he says, my sheep. There are those who are his, my sheep, Jesus says, and these sheep were given to him by God the Father. Look at what he says in verse 29. My Father who has given them to me. Jesus tells us that there are those who have belonged to the Father, and the Father by his authority has given those souls into the charge of his Son. There are those who have been set apart to be sheep of the Good Shepherd. And here we see Jesus expressing that truth that Paul will expound later on in Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Beloved in Christ, you believers in Jesus Christ, you belong to the Lord. You are his. You have been chosen by God to be given into the care of the Good Shepherd. Before the world began, you were elected to be given into his hands, to be delivered from death and from hell, to be those who would hear his voice, to be led by him, to be protected by him, to be saved by him. You do not belong ultimately to the world. You do not belong ultimately to the evil one. They shall not have you. But you belong to Jesus Christ. My sheep, Jesus says. Which means you can say, my shepherd. My savior. My deliverer. And because this is the case, because the Lord has sheep that are his own, because he knows and loves them, because they were lost in sin and misery, he has come to seek and to save what was lost. And that is the second great truth about Jesus as deliverer. Not only does he have those who belong to him, but Jesus as deliverer seeks and calls and claims his own. He seeks and calls and claims his own. Look at verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The prophet Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray, each one to his own way. Mankind was scattered and lost in sin and misery by the fall. And yet because the Lord has chosen a flock to be his own, because he has set apart sheep to be his, he will go after them and he will find them. When a shepherd's sheep wanders off, he He searches for it. That's what a good shepherd does. He calls out for it. And when the sheep hears the voice of the shepherd, it's drawn to him. It's a familiar voice. And he goes after and he follows him. And the shepherd retrieves his own and he claims it. And this is what Jesus has come into the world to do. This is the kind of deliverer that Jesus is. He's come to seek his own, to call those to himself. And those who believed in Jesus during the time he was on the earth were his lost sheep who heard the voice of their shepherd and followed after him. But Jesus is not done seeking his sheep. He's not done searching. He's not done calling. He's not done claiming his own. In fact, that's why you are here this evening. Because of the love that your shepherd has for you. Because you are his own. He sought you. And the Spirit of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, called for you and you heard his voice and you followed after him. Praise God that you have this kind of shepherd. One who sought you when you were lost. One who loved you enough to follow after you, to come and claim you as his own. One who seeks and saves you who are lost. Jesus is a deliverer who seeks and calls and claims his own. He has sought and called and claimed you. The third truth that Jesus reveals about himself is that Jesus is a deliverer who saves and secures you forever. He's a deliverer that saves and secures you forever. Look at how Jesus continues in verse 28. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. As good as a human shepherd may be, no matter how hard he tries after he rescues his sheep, the possibility still exists that that silly, dumb sheep will get lost again. That a thief might come and rob that sheep, that the sheep might be killed and destroyed. It's not within his power to completely and ultimately protect his sheep, to preserve the sheep absolutely in safety. But not so with the Good Shepherd Jesus. After Jesus seeks and calls and claims his own because he has given up his life for them, he grants them eternal life. In the original language, eternal life is actually the life of the ages. Life that goes on for all ages. It's everlasting life, which is why Jesus says they shall never perish. You see, Jesus' sheep never ultimately die. Talk about a deliverer. This is the kind of deliverer you have. Claims you as his own, and you will never die. Ultimately die. But beyond this, Jesus preserves and secures his sheep from being lost or stolen again. Again, the human shepherd cannot ultimately prevent the thief from climbing over that sheepfold and stealing the sheep away, snatching them away. The human shepherd can also perhaps be overcome by a superior power that would put him to death and take his sheep away. But again, not so with the Good Shepherd Jesus. Your soul is secure in him. Look at what he says. He says, no one shall snatch them out of my hand. Throughout the scriptures, the arm and the hand are used as representations of somebody's power. The people of Israel were delivered from Egypt. How? By God's outstretched hand, right? By his mighty hand and his outstretched arm, he delivered Israel from Egypt by the power of God. And so what then is Jesus saying here? No one shall overpower me and take you away. No one shall overcome me. I will never lose your soul. I am strong enough to keep you. And such a statement invites you to consider what might be more powerful than he, doesn't it? It gets you to start to think about what could be more powerful than Jesus that might take me away from him. And so let's think about that a little bit. What could be more powerful than Jesus? Who or what could be more powerful than the one who caused all things to be from nothing? Who or what could be more powerful than the one who sustains all things by the word of his power? Who or what could be more powerful than the one before whom demons tremble? Who or what could be more powerful than the one who has conquered death and the grave? Who or what could be more powerful than the one who will cast the devil into the lake of fire and brimstone? The answer is no one. No one is more powerful than Jesus Christ, the Almighty God. No one shall take you from his hand. And brothers and sisters, that no one includes you. That no one includes you. Some have said, and maybe you thought to yourself, well, yes, no one could snatch me from his hand, but perhaps I could jump out of his hand. Perhaps I could fall out of his hand because of a lack of faith or a wavering in my belief in Jesus Christ. Let's think about that. Let me ask you some more questions. Can you, a mere man, thwart the plan and power of God? The one who's predestined you to be the Lord's? The one who's chosen you to be a sheep of the good shepherd? Can you thwart his plan and power? Let me ask you another. Will Jesus fail as the good shepherd and lose one of his sheep? The one that he sought so diligently to find and called and claimed as his own? Will he fail as the good shepherd? Can the weakness of your faith surpass the faithfulness of Jesus Christ? And will Jesus not possess what he has purchased with his own blood? Nothing in heaven or on earth will remove you from the hand of Jesus Christ. Not even you. How prideful are we when we can even think or suggest that we could remove ourselves from the hand of the omnipotent God? Who do we think we are? Jesus secures you as his own. He is a deliverer who saves and secures you forever. And this is because of the fourth and final beautiful truth that Jesus reveals. And that is, Jesus is a deliverer who is one with the Father. Look at verses 29 and 30. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You see, Jesus and the Father do not work at contrary goals. They don't have a different idea of who should be saved and who shouldn't be saved and why they should be saved and why they shouldn't be saved. They're not running the world differently, but the holy will and loving desire and invincible power of God the Father are working in accord with Jesus, the Good Shepherd, to assure you and secure you of your salvation. Jesus declares that he and the Father are one. Not only is this an astonishing declaration of the fact that Jesus and the Father are the same in substance, equal in power and glory, but they are also in agreement about the destiny of your soul. It's not the case that the Father begrudgingly accepts you because Jesus the Son died for you. I never want you to think that way. That's something the Roman Church would teach. That the Father was always angry at the people living on the earth, and Jesus had to come and save them and bring them to the Father, who was still angry at them all the time, and Jesus was always trying to keep the Father happy. But no, it was God's love that sent Jesus into the world to save a people for himself. God desires your salvation. The Father desires your salvation, as does the Son, because they love you. Later, Jesus will speak about the Holy Spirit who comes as the comforter. And Paul talks about the Spirit as the seal and guarantee of your salvation. It's the power and will of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit who work for and secure your salvation. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Jesus is a deliverer who is one with the Father. He is in union with the Godhead. What a deliverer God's people have. What a deliverer you have. And so during this time when we think about the coming of Jesus, the deliverer into the world, when we reflect about the kind of Savior He is for His people, I want you to at least remember these four things that we saw this evening. That Jesus is a deliverer of those who belong to Him. That Jesus is a deliverer who seeks and calls and claims His own. That Jesus is a deliverer who saves and secures you forever. And that Jesus is a deliverer who does this in union and is one with the Father. And it's my hope in seeing this that you will trust that you, Christ's sheep, are secure in Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ. And we thank you all the more whenever we look at ourselves and we see who we are. Yes, we are sheep, but that means so much. We are so prone to wander. We're so prone to go astray. We're so thankful that we have a shepherd who loves us so much to follow after us, to rescue us when we're lost, to care for us and to lead us and to guide us and to protect us. We need a Savior like this, and we're so thankful that you sent Him into the world. We pray, Lord God, that we would find hope in Him and that we would rest in Him. We ask this for the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in His name. Amen. Let's respond by singing Psalm 37, Selection C. We talk about walking, and even though we stumble, the Lord will preserve us ultimately from falling away. Because the Lord does save and secure you forever. So let's stand and sing Psalm 37, Selection C.